Endurance, written and read by Louis Rudd, MBE. For photographs, please see the accompanying PDF, which can be downloaded from your audiobook library. To my best friend, mother of my three wonderful children and wife, Lucy, no man could ask for a more loyal, loving, and supportive partner. Without her strength and blessing, none of this would have been possible. To Henry Worsley, for inspiring me, mentoring me in the dark arts of polar travel, and providing me with a true appreciation of polar history and a deep love of Antarctica. I owe him everything. Onwards. Prologue. If you're going through hell, keep going. Winston Churchill. It was the 29th of November, 2018, and for four long days I had been trapped in a whiteout. I was skiing blind, but in the complete opposite of total darkness. It was light, but I could see nothing beyond the length of my arm, not the sky above, nor the ice beneath my feet. There was no wind and no sound apart from the endless crunching of ice under my skis. It was the 27th day of my attempt to complete a 920-mile, solo, unsupported traverse of the Antarctic landmass, something no one had managed to achieve before without wind assistance from a kite or food resupplies. Antarctica had defeated more experienced men than me. I had already carved my way through more than 500 miles of polar ice when disaster beckoned. My pace had slowed to that of a crawl, and my sweat was beginning to freeze against the inside of my clothing. I had covered around half a mile in an hour, and I was physically and mentally exhausted. I could barely take a step without stumbling, jarring a knee, hip, or ankle. My pulk, the sledge tethered to my waist, was acting like an anchor on the ice, almost as if it had a mind of its own, slipping in one direction, then another, knocking me off balance or dragging me backwards. For the past few days, I'd been breaking trail through a tortuous span of wind-blown waves of ice, known as sastrugi, that stretch across almost the whole of Antarctica. The abstract shapes are created during the winter months, when winds sweep across a continent at 120 miles per hour. In places, the surface appeared like an ocean, frozen in the midst of a powerful storm, where towering ice sculptures, some as big as cars, had risen up out of the snow. It was a spectacular sight, but a nightmare to traverse, and the cause of so many expedition failures. I had heard of people getting motion sickness as they tried to ski across sastrugi in a whiteout, and I could now understand why. My sensory awareness had disappeared, and my balance was faltering with every slide forward. I began skiing with my legs further apart to try and balance better, and even spread my toes wide inside my boots in a forlorn effort to feel the terrain below me. My skis were constantly bending and flexing, and I fell every few yards. I fought hard to keep the negative thoughts out of my consciousness, the doubts that I was physically strong enough to finish. Instead, I focused on the pain and the cold. It was a never-ending mental battle not to lose my temper and curse the ice and the weather. On previous expeditions, as a member of a team, I had seen how tough experienced men and women were mentally unravelled by sastrugi, striking the ice with their poles as they gave way to frustration. But when you are going solo, you can't afford the luxury of anger. I was being tested, I told myself. The Great White Queen was playing with me, seeing how far she could push me until I snapped. And when that happened, it would be the beginning of the end. Once there was the tiniest chink in my mental armour, I sensed I would unravel quickly. An hour in those conditions is enough to break the spirit of